Let's turn to the book of Ephesians, the second chapter. Ephesians chapter 2, page 1251, if you're using a Scofield Reference Bible. And we'll be reading responsively the first 10 verses, the 10th verse being the text verse. Ephesians 2, verses 1 through 10, page 1251. And let's stand, please, for the reading of the scripture. Reading the verses, please, responsively. And you hath he quickened who were dead in trespasses and sins, wherein in time past ye walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience, among whom also we all had our conversation in times past, in the lust of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature the children of wrath, even as others. But God, who is rich in mercy, for his great love, wherewith he loved us, even when we were dead in sins, hath quickened us together with Christ. By grace are ye saved, and hath raised us up together, and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus, that in the ages to come he might show the exceeding riches of his grace in his kindness toward us through Christ Jesus. For by grace are ye saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them. And let's pray. And Father, thou dost know what's needed in this hour. It means that we need to be controlled by thy Spirit. And we're confident that the preaching will be all that it always is. But we pray for thy Spirit's help for our preacher in a special way. We pray that the folks would be yielded to thee at this time. Help and control our hearts and minds in a special way. In Jesus' name, amen.
We are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works. I want to speak tonight on the subject, I am his workmanship, or I would call it, if I were talking to God, I am your workmanship. I almost lengthened the title to call it, Do As You Will, I Am Your Workmanship. Dear Lord, do as you will, I am your workmanship. We love the first part of that passage. Ah, by grace ye are saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It's a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. And that's true. Nobody is saved by works. Nobody goes to heaven because of what he's done. You go to heaven because of what Jesus did on the cross. Only two religions in the whole world, do and done, that's all. You got the doers and you got the doners, that's all. And anything you do to save yourself puts you in the false religion crowd. Anything, if you just rely upon what he has already done, then that puts you in the religion of Christ or the body of Christ by faith in him and his work on the cross. However, once we are saved without works, there are works that we're supposed to do and things that we're supposed to do. Be a little unusual sermon tonight. It require a little unusual attention, I think. As I speak on the subject, do as you will, I am your workmanship. Holy Father, that's what I am. I am not yet finished, but you're working on me. And sometimes I cause you to have to work a little overtime, I'm afraid. But you are preparing me for something else. And likewise, you're preparing each of us. Now tonight, help us to see this great, wonderful truth. Accomplish thy purpose in all of our lives through this message and this service. Amen. God saved me for the praise of his glory. God did not primarily save me to keep me out of hell, though that's one of the reasons. God did not primarily save me to give me joy, though that certainly is one of the reasons. The main reason that God saved me and the main reason that God saved you was that we may be to the eternal praise of His glory, and that we may serve Him and praise Him in heaven forever and ever. As I've said so often from behind this pulpit, God made a race. He made that race for His own service and His own praise. And that race chose not to serve Him, not to obey Him, and not to praise Him. And that race became depraved. God came to the earth, became a man, and became sin, and paid the penalty for our sins on the cross. Not mainly so you and I could get to heaven, but mainly so God could have us in heaven with Himself. It was for God that Christ died. It was for God's delight that Christ died. Now, He did die for us, but the main reason He died was so God could get us back and somehow remake us so that we could be what He made us to be in the first place for the praise of His glory and for His eternal service. Now, He is preparing me here for an eternity of praise. Now, you must get that or you won't get the message. God is preparing me here for an eternity of praise. You know, it's interesting. The more I learn, the less of it I can use here. Let me say that again. The more I learn, the less of it I can use here. You go to the beginner department, for example, and you listen to Mrs. Rice or Mrs. McKinney as they teach those little boys and girls. Now, it doesn't matter how much theology they've learned during the past week. They're going to have to go right down where they were beforehand and meet on the level of those little beginner boys and girls. I'm saying that the more they learn about the truths of the Bible, the less they can use here. And by the way, the more I learn, the less time I have to use it here. Now, that must mean that I'm learning for use somewhere else. It is for use there. Now, you listen to me. God did not save me primarily just to serve Him here. That is a part of it, and that is the beginning of it. But God saved me primarily that I may serve Him and praise Him eternally in the glory world. So, He is working on me to get me ready. I must remember the entire purpose of it. Soon, I will enter into my main work. I do not know how soon. It may be this week. It may be 20 years from now, or more, or less. I do not know. But I know when you're 60 years of age that it's not too many more years until I'm going to enter in the presence of Christ. And then I will do the work for which I'm being prepared now. You see, a young person in a college like ours, a young man or a young lady preparing for full-time service for God, that is a preparation for this life. But you don't stop preparing. God continues to prepare you for the main work. Serving God in this life is only boot camp. We'll be in the war after a while, or the main thing after a while. Serving God in this life is only the hors d'oeuvres. We'll eat the main course after a while. Serving God in this life is only rehearsal. We'll praise Him really after a while. Serving God in this life is only spring training. The season starts when we see Him. So God is working on me to get me ready so I can praise Him forever. I must remember the entire purpose of my life is to get ready for eternal praise of my Savior. Soon I will enter into my main work. I would already be there if I were ready, but I'm not ready yet. God is not finished preparing me yet to praise Him and serve Him forever. So that means this. Whatever God allows to come into my life, God allows that to come into my life in a preparation for my work in eternity when I serve Him. For example, poverty comes up. And I say, welcome, poverty. Welcome. You were sent as a tool by God to prepare me for eternal praise and eternal service. I will accept thee, poverty. We will walk together for a while. And when you're done with me, you may leave. Thank you, poverty, for helping prepare me for my eternal service. Are you listening? Thank you, poverty, young people. Thank you, poverty, for preparing me for my eternal service. Now, if you don't follow me carefully, you won't get this sermon. I want you to get it because you need it. Though I do not enjoy you, poverty, I will always be glad you came. And though I wept sometimes as I walked with you, I realized, poverty, that you came to me to prepare me for something later. I will not run from you, poverty. I will not shrink from you, poverty. For you are only a tool sent to me in order to chisel on me a little more, so someday I can praise God like He ought to be praised. So I'll not complain, poverty, because you're here. I'll not complain, hunger, because you're here. I'll not complain, unemployment, because you're here. I'll not complain, having to do without, because you're here. I'm glad you came. I needed you, or you would not have come. I will not run off to Texas to get a job, or run off to Atlanta to get a job. If you came to me, I needed you. And because I needed you, God sent you to me as a tool. And I gladly will live in poverty for a while. You will not stay because God will use other tools on me later. So you will not stay, but I need you. And while you are here, I will not run from you nor shrink from you. I will accept you and rejoice that you came. I do not understand, poverty, why your presence will make me praise God more. But the statue does not understand why the sculptor chisels on him. He just yields himself to the sculptor and he does the chiseling on him. And so, poverty, I cannot see how you could make me praise God better someday. But I do know that that's right, because I love God and I'm in the will of God, and whatever happens to me is for my good and for the good of my God, so I can praise Him better sometime. And so, if I do not have what others have, I will accept you, poverty, as a tool used to prepare me for my eternal work. If I cannot dress like others dress, I will accept that poverty as a tool. You're preparing me so I can praise God someday. And I want to praise God someday to the best of my ability. I want to be all that God needs me be. I want to praise Him like He deserves to be praised. I want to serve Him like He deserves to be praised. And so, poverty, I accept you. I will not complain when you come. I'll not blame my husband or wife when you come. I'll not blame you. I'll not get bitter toward God when you come. I will realize that the whole purpose of my life is God is preparing me for eternity, and someday I'll praise Him, and I want to praise Him like He ought to be praised, and poverty is but a tool preparing me to praise Him like He deserves to be praised. Welcome, riches. I'm glad you're here. Riches, you will not stay. But while you're here, we shall be friends. I will not become accustomed to you because I know that you're only temporary. Nor will I use you to purchase things that I cannot continue to purchase later on. I will not live in a certain manner of life or style of living because of you that will cause me someday, when you leave, not to be happy. Because, riches, I know what you really are. Riches, you did not come to me to let me drive a Trans Am car. Riches, you did not come to me to let me live in a beautiful house. Riches, you did not come to me to let me wear the nicest clothes. Riches, you came to me because God needed me to have you for a while so that I can praise Him like He ought to be praised. I do not quite understand, riches, what part you play, but I love God, and I'm in God's will, and I'm the called according to His purpose, so I accept you as being a tool that God can use to make me praise Him better for eternity. I will not become dependent on you, riches. You see, I'm being prepared for something, and you are just a tool. I will not exalt myself, riches, because I have you. I will not look down upon those that do not have you. For I did not always have you, and I will not always have you. So I will not look down on those that have you not, nor up to those that have more of you. I accept you, riches, just like I accepted poverty. You have been sent into my life as a master workman, as a tool in the hand of the master himself, that you may place your contribution into my life. For you see, riches, I'm really made to praise God for eternity. And I've been here, riches, for 60 years. If I have my 70, I only have 10 left. If I have 80, I only have 20 left. But riches, you see, I have an eternity to live out yonder. I have a life to live that 20 years would be like a drop of water in the Pacific Ocean in comparison. And so, riches, I know why I'm here. I'm here to be prepared on the assembly line of glory, to be prepared for the master workman, even God's Holy Spirit, in order that I may praise my God forever. Someday, I'll join the heavenly choir, and I'll sing His praises forever. Someday, I'll join the heavenly band, and I'll exalt Him forever. Someday, I'll join the heavenly army, and I shall serve Him forever. And oh, I want to serve Him right. I want to praise Him right. I want to sing properly for Him in the glory world. And so, riches, I do not accept you because I think I deserve you. I accept you as a tool to make me what I ought to be because I'm being prepared. I'm like a car on the assembly line. I'm like an object in a factory. I'm being prepared. And I realize, riches, that you will not be here forever. You will someday leave like poverty left. And it may be that poverty may return. Or it may be that you came first and poverty follows you. So, riches, I will not let you make me happy because when you leave, I will not be happy. I will not depend on you for my joy because that means when you leave, I will have no joy. Riches, I accept you because God gave you to me in order that He may make me what I ought to be in order that I may praise Him forever and ever and ever. I wish I could burn that into your heart tonight. I wish I could burn into your heart, this world is not my home, I'm just passing through. I wish I could burn in your heart tonight that you're being prepared for something else. There is a heaven. There is a God. There is a Savior. There are golden streets. And our entire purpose on earth is that we might prepare and be prepared to serve Him and praise Him forever. Don't get too attached with things down here. Don't fall in love too much with things down here. Houses and lands and jewelry and carpet and cars, they're just for a season. Don't let your joy be determined by them. They may go someday. So, riches, I accept you as I accepted poverty. You were as necessary, perhaps, as poverty was. Now, riches, I'll be honest with you. I'd rather have you than poverty. And I enjoyed your presence more than I enjoyed poverty, but I needed poverty as much as I needed you. Welcome, praise. Welcome, praise. I guess I must need you. I will enjoy you very much, though I know you cannot permanently stay. I appreciate the fact, praise, that you are being lavished on me. I appreciate the fact that there are times when I preach that everybody will say, that was a great sermon. I appreciate the fact that people say, I love you, Brother Hiles. And Brother Hiles, I'm glad you're my preacher. I appreciate that. And praise, I welcome you. But praise, you will not stay. You will leave. So I must not depend on you for my joy. There will be a day when you will leave, and God will use another tool on me. But I need to praise God someday, and in order to praise God properly, I need to know how it feels to be praised. And so, praise, when you come to me and men cast garlands about my neck, and men exalt me, and men honor me, I will accept that so that I will know the joy of being honored and praised because someday I am going to get to honor my Savior forever and forever. And someday I'll honor and praise my Savior eternally forever and ever and ever and ever. I only have a few more years to get prepared. And I'm being prepared now. So welcome, praise. I accept you. Now, I love you, praise. I love you a great deal more than I love criticism, who probably is going to come see me after you leave. But I must not be dependent upon you for my joy. I must find my joy in Him, not you. I must be loyal to my principles and preach what I believe. Now, I cannot preach to get you. Now, if you come to me after I've preached in spite of you, I'll accept you. Welcome, Blaine. I know you're coming. I have dreaded your coming. I enjoyed your predecessor far more. I enjoyed praise. I enjoyed honor. I enjoyed the garland around my neck. I enjoyed the pat on the back. But Blaine, I realize if I'm going to praise my God someday, and He's going to make me all that I need to be for Him, and by the way, that's all that ought to matter in life. Only to be what He wants me to be every moment of every day. Yield it completely to Jesus alone, every step of this pilgrim way, just to the clay in the potter's hands, ready to do what His Word commands. Only to be what He wants me to be every moment of every day. You see, I'm being trained. I'm being prepared. And the events of my life, whether they be good or bad, if I love God and I'm in God's will, are but tools in the hands of the master craftsman, making me what I ought to be, so someday I can be forever what He needs me to be. Blaine, I know you will hurt me, but I welcome you. Pardon my weeping that you're here, but don't misunderstand me. I'm glad you're here. I'm not glad you're here because of what I feel. I'm glad you're here because I know why you came. I know why criticism, you come to me. I know blame, why you come to me. I could wish that you had not come, except I need you in order to praise my Savior eternally more effectively. And I accept you, blame. I will not enjoy you like I enjoyed praise. I will not rejoice because you're here like I rejoiced when praise came. But blame, you are a tool. That's why Paul could say, I rejoice in persecution and tribulation. That's why Paul could say that I rejoice in suffering. That's why Paul could say he rejoiced in trials. It wasn't because he delighted in trials. It wasn't because he was not hurting when trials came. But Paul loved God, and Paul was in God's will. And Paul knew that trial was a messenger from God to prepare him for eternity of praising His wonderful Savior. That's what it's all about. We're not going to be here very long. Folks, in 100 years from tonight, none of us will be here. We'll all be in eternity. And 50 years from tonight, most of us will be gone. Oh, you young people, with your ruddy cheeks and your bright eyes and your cheerful smiles and your white teeth and your active bodies, let me tell you, it's just a few days till your body will pain. It's just a few days till you'll go where all flesh goes. We're not here to stay, but we are there to stay. And since we're there to stay, it just seems to me like we ought to be willing to take whatever we need to take to prepare us for being what we're supposed to be when we get there. So, Blaine, I did not want to answer the door when you knocked. But I know who sent you. The same one, Blaine, sent you who sent riches. He sent riches for a while as a tool. And then, when riches had done its work on me to prepare me for eternal praise, He left. And then He sent poverty. He sent poverty as a tool. And when poverty had done its work on me to prepare me for eternal praise and service for my God, He too left. Then He sent praise. I was exalted. I was honored. I received the applause of man. And I enjoyed that very much. But I realized I was not sent that for enjoyment. I was sent that for preparation, for me to prepare to serve and honor and praise my God forever more effectively. And so, Blaine, I take you as a part of the assembly line. As I go down the assembly line of life, and as the Holy Spirit places on my life all the things that I need, you see, Blaine, you can't be here very long, because I'm not going to be here very long. Blaine, you'll hurt me, but you can't hurt me long. And the fact that your presence here is going to make me praise my God better makes me glad that you came. Oh, I'm not saying I enjoy your presence. I weep while you're here,
and I hurt while you're here, and I do not want you here, but I know this. Blame, if your presence in my life can help me praise my God better forever, just come on and chisel away. I want to love Him like He deserves to be loved. I want to praise Him like He deserves to be praised. I want to honor Him like He deserves to be honored. And if you, blame, can join riches and poverty and praise in order to prepare me better to, for my Jesus to get more glory for eternity with my life, just chisel away. Forgive me if I weep some while you chisel. Forgive me if my heart hurts some while you chisel. But chisel, if you will, if you can make me be conformed more to what I need to be, so forever I can exalt and praise my Savior to my fullest. Welcome, health. Welcome, health. I'm glad you came. I like you very much. In fact, we spend a lot of money to try to keep you. I will enjoy you while you're here, but I know, health, that you cannot stay forever. For I know, health, that you're only a messenger sent from God to help me become what God wants me to be eternally. I wish you could stay forever because I love you so much. Health, I love for you to bounce me out of bed in the morning with a spring in my step. Health, I love for you to have me to feel no pain whatsoever in my body at all. Health, I love for you to make me able to eat what I want to eat and go where I want to go and do what I want to do. Health, I welcome you. But I must not make my happiness dependent upon you, for you will soon leave. You lack poverty. You lack riches. You lack praise. You lack blame are simply tools that the master sculptor uses on me, his sculpture, to make me what I ought to be so someday I can praise him as he deserves to be praised. You see, health, my Savior doesn't get much praise down here now. He's cursed in the shops of our land. He's cursed in the office buildings of our land. He's expelled from the schools of our land. His book has been cast out of the schools of our land. Even talking to him has been cast out of the schools of our land. And admission of him is rarely made in most of the homes of our land, and sad to say, in most of the Christian homes of our land. And so, he does not get the praise. But one day, he is going to come in the clouds of glory. And Jesus shall reign where'er the sun does his successive journeys run. His kingdom shall spread from shore to shore, and moon shall wax and wane no more. And Jesus shall be king of the whole world. And then we shall praise him and honor him. And he who was crowned with a crown of thorns shall wear a crown of glory. And he who rode on a borrowed ass will ride on a mighty white stallion. And he who was crucified on a cross for a throne will have a throne of righteousness. And he who was a subject to ruler shall be the ruler. And he shall be king. And I want to praise him then like he ought to be praised. And so, health, I realize I need you. I wish you could stay. At least for my own sake. But health, for his sake. Please leave when it's time to leave. I'd rather lose you than for him to lose the honor he deserves. I'd rather not have you than for him not to have the glory that's rightly his. And so, master, sculptor, chisel as you will, send me riches. And I will rejoice, but I will not become too attached to them because I will know they will soon leave. Send me poverty, and I will weep because of it and hurt because of it, but I will accept it because I know that you're preparing me for the glory world where I can be to my Jesus all that he wants me to be. Send me praise, and I'll like it. I'll like every little letter I get that says to the greatest preacher in the world. I'll like every little child that under the door says, I will be a house. I like every pat on the back that comes from anybody. I like the gift certificate that my deacons gave me recently to buy some clothes that fit me after my enlargement program had been completed. I love the praise. I love to hear. That was a good sermon, preacher. I love to hear that. I love you, preacher. I love to hear it. I wish I didn't so much, but I do. But I realize, praise, that you left for a season when our forefathers were taken to the floor of the Colosseum and fed to the lions. I realize, praise, that you left for a season when our founding fathers were placed in the catacombs and fled for their security in that underground burying place, that underground cemetery. And so, praise, I'll love you, but I know you have to leave. And so, blame, I will not enjoy you like I did praise, but I will accept you because you're a tool in the hands of the great workman. And I am his workmanship. Do thou as thou wilt. Do what you need to do to me. Give me whatever poverty I need so I can praise you better eternally. Give me whatever riches I need so I can exalt you better in the glory world. Give me whatever praise I need. Give me whatever blame I need. But please, thou master workman, do thou work on me so I can be to you someday what you need me to be. I'm so sorry that sometime when I praise you, I get weary of body here. I'm sorry because the other night I tried to pray all night and about 2 o'clock in the morning I fell asleep and slept the rest of the night. I'm sorry. I weep because I do not praise you as you deserve. Please, please, take your chisel. Give me riches or give me poverty. Give me praise or give me blame or give me health. Just give me what I need. Welcome, sickness. It may not seem like it, but I need you as much as I needed health. I do not want you to come because you hurt and you pain and you cause me to fret and worry. But if you've been sent by the master workman to work on me, his workmanship, come on, sickness, and do your work. I may not like you as much as I like health. But if I can praise my God better forever because you're here, come, sickness. If through my illness I can bring more praise to Him who deserves all praise, come, illness. I will weep because you come. And sometimes I will hurt because you come. And sometimes, I hate to say it, I will even want you to leave. And I may even ask you to leave, but don't leave if I need you. Stay as long as I need you. I remember the life of Jesus. As for 33 years, He walked among men. It was a roller coaster kind of a life. It was praise for a while, then blame for a while. It was honor for a while, then dishonor for a while. It was exaltation for a while, and then reproach for a while. It was complimenting for a while, and then scandalizing for a while. It was strength for a while, and then weakness for a while. Don't you remember His life? Don't you remember that when He was a child, shepherds came to adore Him? And wise men came from the east to bring gifts of gold, frankincense, and myrrh, and throw them at Jesus' feet. Don't you remember the praise He got? But it was just a few days until Herod said, I'll kill him if I've got to kill every male child in the whole kingdom. And he had to flee to Egypt. Why? As a baby, he had to run. Why? Because to be my Savior, he needed the wise men. But he also needed Herod. And then he came back and spent his childhood in tranquility. In the carpenter shop with Joseph and in the home with Mary, his earthly mother. And then came that high hour of baptism when the Spirit of God descended in the form of a dove and the voice out of heaven said, This is my beloved Son, whom I am well pleased. And following that high hour that he needed, then there came the moment that he preached in his own synagogue. His home church, if you please. Can you hear the people as they buzz? This young man that grew up is the Messiah, and he is going to preach for us.
And yet, before the sermon was over, they cast him out of the synagogue, cast him down the hill of precipitation. And he was hated. You say, why was it such a roller coaster? He needed that to be my Savior. He needed the praise of the wise men and the hatred of Herod. To be my Savior, he needed the exaltation of the baptism and yet the persecution of his own synagogue. You do remember, don't you, how on Palm Sunday they strolled the palm branches in his path and they sang, "Blessed is he that cometh in the name of the Lord." And they praised him and honored him. That was on Sunday. But by Tuesday and Wednesday, that same crowd that praised him hated him. He needed both. He needed to come as the king to fulfill prophecy, but he also needed to be hated. You don't remember Gethsemane, don't you? Just a few hours after Palm Sunday, the same folks that praised him. You remember Gethsemane? And the same voices that said, "Blessed is he! Hosanna! Blessed is he that cometh in the name of..." Those same voices said, "Crucify him! Crucify him! Let Barabbas go! Crucify him!" If our Savior needed praise and blame, you and I need praise and blame. If our Savior needed the riches of the home of Mary and Martha, but the hunger and poverty of having no place to lay his head, certainly you and I likewise need the same. And then Gethsemane, and then the blame of Calvary, when the only perfect one became the total epitome and summation of imperfection. When the only blameless one took more blame than man has ever taken. When the only sinless one bore every sin that's ever been committed, committed, or ever shall be committed. He needed that. Then 72 hours later, up from the grave he arose with a mighty triumph over his foes. He arose a victor from the dark domain, and he lives forever! And he ascended on high to make captivity captive and to sit at the right hand of God as my mediator, where he'll never again know the trials and heartaches of this world. It was all 33 years of preparation. That's all it was. And it's over so soon. So, Holy Spirit, do as you will to me. It'll all be over shortly. If I need some riches so I can be to my Savior in eternity all that I ought to be, I will accept them but not become enamored with them. I will enjoy them but not become dependent upon them. For I know that soon they must leave. And soon there must come poverty. And hunger shall take the place of the banquet table. And little shall take the place of plenty. And rags shall take the place of robes. And the houses shall take the place of mansions. I understand that. So come, poverty. I accept you. I accept you not because I want you, but I accept you because you're necessary to my development and the workmanship that God is doing on me as was riches. Come, praise. Do thou your work to me. I will enjoy thee while you're here. But I will realize you're not here to stay. For those who praise me shall someday curse me. And those who say they love me will someday hate me. And those who shook my hand and gave me a warm handshake shall someday use that same hand to circle a knife to pierce my back. I'll accept you, praise, and love you, but I accept you as long as I need you to make me what he needs me to be forever. Come, blame. Come and do your work. I'll not enjoy you. But if you can help me to praise him better and love him more, Come, do your work. Come, health. Be thou with me as long as I need you be to help me serve him more and better forever. And then come, sickness, and stay as long as you need to stay. For you see, Holy Spirit, what I really want more than I want to live is to be prepared when I see him, to be to him what he needs me be. Give me, Holy Spirit, what you know I need to make it so. And give to my people the willingness to accept whatever chiseling must be done on them